Hoes, hoes, hoes. Welcome to the annual Hollywood Outsider Holiday Special. I am your host, Aaron Peterson. This year's a little different because it's been a crazy, crazy, insane year, but we still wanted to do our annual holiday special, and we really, really wanted to do something when we got to look back at all the years we've been doing this. As you listen to this episode, you're going to be taken through time. You're going to hear some jingle bells that takes you to different little bits and pieces of previous holiday specials that we put together so you have one all-encompassing, amazing holiday special, and you're going to hear previous hosts, Brian Williams, who also plays our lovely Santa Claus. You can call him St. Dick. And we have Justin McCumber, one of our original hosts who passed away, but you get to hear his delightful jolliness once again. Scott Clark, who started this holiday special idea with me because we wanted to do something. And back in 2014, we started this baby, and it has gone from there. Also, you're going to hear your normal host, John Davenport, and Amanda Sink. They're all going to pop up throughout this. I think you guys are really going to like it. We're going to start from the past and kind of move our way forward. We're going to start with Justin McCumber and Brian Williams and Scott Clark and myself, and then kind of move through the years. And I hope you guys enjoy this. We're talking about a lot of things. Favorite movie and TV specials, what movies count as Christmas movies. We're going to also eventually move into Christmas cliches and a lot of other things. Of course, one of Scott's annual Christmas poems is going to be the original poem, then the first one he ever did. We're going to play on the show, as well as, like I said earlier, lots of Santa. And if you've never heard our version of Santa, he is an absolute delight. Okay, that's going to do it. I'm going to go ahead and just let this thing fly. Please, guys, have a wonderful holiday season. Merry whatever it is that you celebrate. Let's get this year behind us and try to remember that we love and trust and support each other. And the people you don't like, be sure to send them a lump of coal. They've got it coming. Let's get into this. This is our Hollywood Outsider holiday special. Let's go. He's never met a reindeer he didn't love a lot. Hence, we nicknamed him Cupid. Justin McCumber.
I should have been Comet.
What does Comet do?
He growls.
Is that what Comet does? I've never even heard. What do they do? I don't know what they do. I don't remember the song.
They pull the sled.
So they have no identity is what you're telling me?
Not really. I mean, other than Rudolph, and even he's just, his identity is a red glowing nose. So.
Yeah, in the poem, he just named them all by name. We didn't go into like an introduction, some backstory about Donner. Yeah.
We just know there were a bunch of a-holes until they needed something.
Yep, good point.
I want origin stories. That's what I want of each one of
them. Well, yeah, if you were in the movies, you would get it.
Exactly. I want motivation for how did Cupid become Cupid? What happened that caused Prancer to be such a Prancer? That kind of thing.
What was the selection process to be one of the Santa's reindeer?
Yeah. And we're having all the rejects.
Did you go through like a gauntlet or?
They have like a gang. They have like a North Pole gang.
It's kind of like the Expendables of
that would be great.
Of toys.
I would watch that movie. Well, what's new with everybody? Anything major, any big breaking news you want to talk about before we get into the Christmas spirit?
Other than my birthday coming up Sunday. Nope. There's still time, people. Still time.
And use our Amazon link.
And I do have, well, use that, then go to my wish list, which you can easily find with my name.
Oh my.
There are loads of choices of things you can send me.
The shameless plugs that he is willing to give himself.
And then buy one of my books on your way out.
I was going to say, he hasn't had a new book in a while, so he's just going to pimp his birthday. He's got a new book every quarter, like center around his birthday. So his birthday is like the Q4 of his fiscal year.
My Birthday by Justin McCumber. Day one. Everybody ready for the holidays yet? You guys got anything planned? Any exciting plans, vacations, anything like that?
I'm pretty much staying at home this year and getting caught up on all the media that I haven't had time to ingest in the past few weeks.
Brian, you're going to the Walking Dead cruise, right?
Well, not over Christmas. That'll be in January. So,
close.
The Walker Stalker cruise. It's about a 3 or 4 day cruise. Looking forward to that.
And there, Norman Reedus got bit by a fan. You saw that, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm not too keen on the taste of grease and leather. So.
Former, I'm sure there's a little bit of oil in there.
Yeah. No worries about that. I'll keep my choppers to myself.
It's the weirdest story ever. What do you think you're going to do with that? You're going to be in the news? Is that all you want to do?
I think they love him so much that they bit him. Because nothing says love like I bit you. All right, well, let's get into Christmas. Let's get into Christmas. Oh, wait, you know what? I was on Entertainment Weekly this week. I forgot about
it. I was going to say, I was waiting for you to drop that news. I didn't know if you're...
I totally spaced it out. I've been doing this format all day. The Blacklist Exposed, the podcast that I do with Troy Heinrichs, he and I interviewed the showrunner for The Blacklist, John Bokenkamp, and he dropped the bomb that the show had been renewed, and it got blasted all over every major media site. Entertainment Weekly, Hollywood Reporter, Variety, everywhere, and they credited our show all over. So I finally made Entertainment Weekly and Hollywood. It's like I know it's stupid, but it's like a childhood dream of mine to actually be in there in some respect. So
that's awesome, man. Really happy.
So I'm
clear. You're just glowing.
I am.
Because first we get the first text from Aaron. Say, hey, guys, go check out film whatever site it was that had linked you guys. Mm-hmm. And then just a few minutes later, suddenly boom, boom, boom. And I could just feel you over in Illinois just preening, going, oh, yes, this is wonderful.
My nipples got a little, yeah.
And I felt happy for you. I was like, you know what? You worked hard with these podcasts. You deserve it.
You say that like you didn't think you would. You're like, and I felt happy for you. Who knew? I'm so surprised.
Wow, just take the compliment. Man. God,
I appreciate that. I'm still a little.
You know how hard it is for him? Just take it. It's the effort. It's not the actual words. It's the effort put forth.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian.
I appreciate you, Justin. It's good.
Appreciate you.
God, all this ass kissing is making me nauseous. Let's go to Christmas, where ass kissing is required. Let's lay the foundation right here. Now, I just want to point out we are having nog. We are allowing ourselves beverages. So we're going to try and keep this as kind as we can. Let's lay the foundation right here. One movie symbolizes your personal start to the Christmas season. What movie is it? Scott, you start.
I got a really weird choice for my first movie that I've seen for the past several Christmases, and I don't know why, is The Santa Claus. Yes, the Tim Allen classic, The Santa Claus.
Slow down on classic, maybe, but I got you.
I said it in air quotes, but it's radio, so you couldn't see it. But
I felt it.
For some reason, that movie always puts me in the Christmas spirit right away. I don't know, maybe because it's a light, silly movie. It's nothing that you take really seriously. You don't have the same kind of family drama. The family drama is so overblown in that movie that you don't take it seriously, and it's just very silly. I don't know. Every Black Friday, we pop that movie in while my wife and I are decorating the tree and just kind of hang out, and I like it. I love it.
Good call. Good call. Justin, what about you? This will be fun.
Oh, easy. Die Hard.
That's here, kids. For new kids, that's sarcasm. That's what that is.
You know, strangely enough, Star Wars does, and the reason being,
strangely enough, to who?
Well, it is my favorite film of all time, and so when the Christmas season comes around, it's generally overcast and cool outside, and the lights go up on the houses, and we decorate the living room, and it's just such a fun time for me. And when I was a kid, one of the things I loved to do was to watch the trilogy over the Christmas month, because there's really, it's like, if I'm this happy from all the lights and decorations, what's the one thing that could make it better? And that's Star Wars. Star Wars makes everything better.
Now, prequels don't.
Well, those didn't exist when I was a kid, so they're kind of like not included.
You should watch those when Christmas is over.
Just to come down.
Yeah, just to come to off
bring
the
you
high.
Back to reality.
Yeah.
It's not all so good.
So, yeah, stereotypically for me, it is Star Wars.
All right, Brian, what's yours? Platoon?
A what? It's actually Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Now, while I know it's a technically it is a Thanksgiving movie, but traditionally, like, you know, Scott kind of referred to with the whole Black Friday thing, it's for me it transitions the season into the Christmas/holiday season, and everything about it, even though he's traveling, you know, to get to his family for Thanksgiving and everything, it feels, the movie just feels Christmassy. Maybe it's the cold, the snow, all that stuff. But for me, it's, that's the movie that I start to, I sit down and watch and go, okay, I've got that holiday feeling. What else is, you know, what else am I going to watch? For the season? So that's the one that kind of, you know, launches. Kind of.
Oh my God, Brian, you sounded like Max Headroom. Please tell me there's outtakes.
that's just regular takes. All right. Mine is Die Hard, of course, because Justin mocked it, some bitch. So why Die Hard? Because it's that's one of the movies I've watched as a kid, and I watched it over and over, and it just kind of sunk in as one of my initial Christmas. That's what gets me going for Christmas. It's like everything's Christmas. There's carols. It's everything I like. It's a Bruce Willis shooting people up. It's got Hans Gruber. What more do you really need in a Christmas movie? It's everything I want. Speaking of, we've talked about it before, so long-timers know this one, but we do have a lot of newer listeners. What constitutes a Christmas movie to you?
For me, a Christmas movie needs to have Christmas as an integral element to the story. If Christmas was somehow removed, it would completely fall apart. And there are numbers and numbers of movies in which that is perfectly true. I mean, It's a Wonderful Life kinda almost doesn't even fit into a Christmas movie as far as the story goes, because Christmas is really only a part of it for the last little bit. Mm-hmm. But because it has been shown on Christmas so many years running, it has kind of been traditionally fathered into being a Christmas movie. But, you know, the Santa Claus, Scrooged, those sorts of movies that are about, you know, Christmas Vacation, those are Christmas films. But if you're only, if Christmas can be removed and replaced with a number of things and it still would work just fine, then that doesn't make it a Christmas movie.
That's my rule as well, pretty much.
I would say Christmas Vacation could be Thanksgiving Vacation. I mean, it's really just family getting together.
Well, it's also so many jokes about the lights and getting those strung up and what those do, the cat and the Christmas tree. If you want to pick apart or attempt to pick apart every Christmas movie to try and
let's do
make
it.
Me look like I'm wrong
right now,
yeah, feel free. But Christmas Vacation has Christmas as an integral part.
Well, no, it's fair. You cited references as far as these other specific movies, mm-hmm. but you know, he's counteracting that. So I kind of take his point. I mean, you could do the same thing with 4th of July. You might not have a tree, but you got explosives. You got crazy stuff that can happen. So, nah, it's I kind of agree with Aaron on that.
My take has always been that if Christmas is a relevant part of the story, then it's a Christmas movie, and I can go with that. Die Hard to me doesn't happen if there's not a Christmas party. The Christmas carols open and close it. It's a prominent part of the movie. So to me, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. We've had the argument. So I know some people are like, well, I've never heard it before. Well, if we go into it, we'll end up fighting, and we want this to be a fun Christmas episode. So
one of us is going to end this real butthurt.
Yeah. One of us will get shot with a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho. Hey guys, do you hear that? I think Santa's here. Hang on. We're transitioning.
It was so awkward. I still had more to go.
Nope. Guys, did you hear that? I think it's Santa. It's
so I knew cool. him.
Welcome to the Ho, Santa. How are you?
Ho, 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 oh, bitches.
You're not Santa.
He's my Santa.
Oh, how's it going, fellas?
Good. How are things up north through the
They're
south?
They're warmer wind? Than normal. You know, global warming and all that.
That's good.
We're wearing,
you got a nice sauna now,
don't
you?
Yeah, yeah. We're wearing shorts up here. It's not you know, the reindeer kind of shedding their thick coats a little bit. Rudolph's half naked at this point.
Are you hunting them yet?
Nah.
I don't know when reindeer season is there, so I was just checking. I mean, there's only what, 8?
There's more reindeer than just those 8, man.
They just got a few
reindeer games.
Mm. Oh, great movie. That's a great Christmas movie right there.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of hoes, I know she's a big listener, so how come Mrs. Claus never gives you a hand?
Oh, she gives daddy a hand. Jeez. See what I'm saying? He's kind of
back when we had the explicit tag.
We still have
reading
it.
Between the elves there.
I read between the elves. Well, gang, Santa agreed to drop by and read a few letters from listeners and respond directly to them on air. So keep in mind, Santa's had a rough year. I think he lost two elves and a candy cane related work injury. So I can't promise he's going to be completely jolly, but he's going to respond as deemed appropriate by him. So he's going to respond to you directly, listeners. I think that's great. Are you ready for your first letter, Santa?
Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on.
All right. I didn't ever think I'd ever hear Santa say, bring it on. Okay. This comes from Masal Young. He says, dear Santa, for the most part this year, I've been a sarcastic son of a bitch. But hey, I'm honest. What I want for Christmas is a sequel to I Am Number 4 and also for Rotten Tomatoes to die out. Thanks, big guy.
All right, so you're a dick. And you want a sequel to a kind of a bad movie, so I can't help with that. And unfortunately, Rotten Tomatoes, there's nothing I can do about that. So, yeah, maybe Easter. Maybe talk to the Easter Bunny. He might bring you a little bit more than just some turds in a basket. Santa's got nothing. What's next?
Thanks, Santa. Now I think we go to John's letter.
All right, so Christina Flores says, dear Santa, I've worked so very hard this year, and I've been a pretty good girl. For Christmas, I'd love the entire Harry Potter collection on DVD or Blu-ray, as well as the entire Big Bang Theory series streaming on Amazon Prime or Netflix. Additionally, I'd love a stress-free time to sit and watch them. Thanks, Santa. Sincerely, crazy working mother of an army.
Well, Christina, first of all, yes, you've been a very good girl, raising all 27 of those kids, underappreciated job. And I just, on behalf of the rest of the host, want to thank you for doing that. However, I can't do anything about the companies like Amazon and Netflix. They handle their own stuff. I don't get into the business and the politics and all that stuff. So that's their deal. I got enough stuff running around all over the world. I'll do what I can to free you up a little time to catch up on this stuff, though. But for the most part, yeah, you're pretty much SOL, too. But, hey, we like you.
Santa's not very giving this year.
Shut your pie hole. What else you got?
So let me ask you guys, what are your favorite TV specials or maybe Christmas-themed TV episodes? John, you can rattle yours off.
I think, the ones like that popped into my mind the most are all the recent Doctor Who Christmas specials. All of them bring that air of magic to it. All of them have a feeling of family to it. And they just feel good. And as much as I make jokes about how I don't want to have feelings with my stuff and I don't want to deal with feelings and screw that, I love the feeling and the pure childlike joy that Doctor Who gives you. And Doctor Who plus Christmas means magic. So it's really nice. I mean, that's really the only ones I can think of is good Doctor Who specials.
I feel so left out when it comes to Doctor Who, having never seen it. I just feel like it's too late for me. Like I want to see what everybody's talking about, but every time I try to go back and watch that from the beginning, not like the 60s one, but the recent reincarnation of it, and I just feel lost in the first two episodes, and I don't know why I can't get stuck on that show, but I really want to.
Yeah, I mean, people must love it because I see blue phone booths everywhere I go.
Yeah.
I've seen like one or two episodes and it's fine. But every time I've watched it, I'm like, what is this, like $8 to make this show? It just doesn't. And I know somebody's writing an email right now like, piss on your head.
Oh, yeah. You're totally messing with a whole group of people.
Hey, man, I totally respect the audience for that show. One of my closest buddies, Rob, is an avid fan of Doctor Who, which is cool. I just don't get it. I mean, I've tried to get it. It isn't clicking with me. I'm with Scott. I get where that's coming from. But I'm glad
I don't get why, because it seems right up my alley.
It really is right up your alley, Scott, because Doctor Who is about being good. I mean, I understand why Aaron can't get to it, but you.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Shit. Oh, boy.
No, I'm not offended. That's accurate. So I'm cool. I understand.
Okay. So, yeah, it's right up your alley. Because, Scott, I mean, whenever I see you, I see this person who is, at least doing the best you can to be genuinely happy and trying to spread some good happiness towards people around you. So that's kind of how I experience you. And so Doctor Who is right up your alley. So I would say people will tell you to forget about the first season, which is the Eccleston season of Doctor Who, and just start with David Tennant. I like the Eccleston season because he is a little darker than the rest of them. But I also see where people get along with Tennant, because Tennant really just charms you into the role, and he really just breaks your heart, makes you laugh, makes you cry, everything. So he was really phenomenal. So if you just ignore any references to anything before Tennant, you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Did you have any others besides Doctor Who?
No, really, Doctor Who is my only one. I could go through a cavalcade of ideas, but really I just want to focus on Doctor Who. It deserves attention. It needs to be brought up to the fold.
I've got a few, and I'll try to run through them quickly because I feel like I've actually mentioned some of these on previous on our last two Christmas specials. But like the Big Bang Theory one, where Penny gets Sheldon Leonard Nimoy's autograph, is just such a great moment. John, you were talking about how not all holidays are shown in some of these Christmas specials, but Friends had an episode where they tried to tie in the Jewish faith a little bit, where Ross, who's Jewish, is trying to teach his son about Hanukkah. And is desperately trying to teach him all about it, and tries to get a Santa costume so that Santa can teach him about Hanukkah, and can't find one. So the best he can find on like Christmas Eve is an armadillo costume. So he dresses up like an armadillo and calls himself the holiday armadillo and uses this ridiculous voice. And it's funny because his Chandler walks in with a Santa suit he borrowed from work. And then Joey just comes in randomly with a Superman costume, which makes no sense. And it's just so funny. Another one that was a TV special was one of the iterations of A Christmas Carol, Mickey's Christmas Carol. It's only like 20 minutes long. And I watched that thing over and over as a kid, and I loved it. It's just super short, tells the story very quickly, and it's actually how I was introduced to the story of Christmas Carol as a kid. So I have a special in my heart for that one.
Isn't that one a little scary, too?
Not too bad. I wouldn't say it's any...
Well, any, I mean, for kids, I mean... If I remember, the 80s cartoons of Disney weren't afraid to walk that line of being a little shadowy, a little scary.
Yeah, I'm probably a little calloused in that regard. Thinking back to it, it didn't bother me as a kid, but
use a lot more lotion.
Like the Ghost of Christmas Future or Yet to Come, rather, was one of the villains in the. Is it Bluto? Is that his name with the cigar? Mm-hmm. That was back when you can have smoking in cartoons. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And it was more like it felt more comedic to me than actually genuinely scary. I felt more scared by the stupid puppet in the Muppet one, really. there's one other one I wanted to mention, and I think this one's powerful because when you think about holiday Christmas specials, you think of ones that you kind of grew up with and you have good memories of nostalgia. And I recently watched a show that I had never watched as a kid, and that was The Wonder Years. And I didn't watch it until I was an adult. And there's a Christmas episode in that where the main character is struggling to find a perfect gift for his girlfriend Winnie for Christmas. It's the majority of the episode is he's just stressing out over it. Can't figure out to find the best gift. He's just going through the mall. And when he winds up exchanging gifts with Winnie at the very end, she presents him with a box, and all that's inside it is a four-leaf clover, which is brings back memories of when they were much, much younger, and there was a moment shared between them. And for me, that was very cool because it had this theme of how materialism isn't what Christmas is all about. It's all about doing things that are thoughtful and giving special gifts to people instead of it being about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That one kind of stuck out for me. And I love that it was able to impact me even as an adult and not just something that I remember from watching when I was a kid. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Aaron?
Well, I'm going to pull out easy guns here. Psych has Christmas-themed episodes. And
oh, awesome.
They are so much fun. And you get a murder mystery, and you get jokes, and you get Sean sleeping with Gus's sister, and all kinds of other stuff that happens.
Chocolate Snowman.
Yes, Chocolate Snowman. Just everything that happens in those episodes are fantastic. I watch them every Christmas. I do. I love them.
Except now that it's on Netflix, when I have to actually bust out the DVDs, that makes me mad. It's like, what is this, 1985? What just happened? Yeah, Tales from the Crypt had Larry Drake as Killer Santa in a couple episodes. That was a lot of fun. I always remember those, and I try to watch them if I can find them. They're hard to find sometimes. And then, the old stalwarts, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. That's a big one. And Charlie Brown Christmas is one where I don't know if I really love that one, but I can't not watch it when it's on, if that makes any sense. I just have a hard time turning away. It's just one where I feel like I feel like I'm supposed to watch it. I like it, but I don't love it. And at no point am I like, I have to watch this because I love this. It's more like, hey, it's on. I got to watch Charlie Brown Christmas. It's almost like it's a Pavlovian response.
Yep. Okay. I just love feeling sorry for Charlie Brown because he's just so he wants everything to be a certain way, and it just doesn't work out, and everybody doesn't really like him. They're just all like, oh, good old Charlie Brown. And he just he doesn't do a great job of keeping happy, but he never lets himself get knocked down completely.
And that wench keeps taking that football away. Somebody should kick her ass. That's what I'm saying. We should gang up on Lucy and just beat her silly ass. The other one, Frosty the Snowman. I really, when it comes to like the old specials, for some reason, I just love Frosty the Snowman. Mm-hmm. So if it's on, I will watch it. I don't own it or anything because you don't have to. It's literally on every single year. So it's just a matter of catching it. But did you hear that?
I did, faintly.
Oh, I think you might have more letters from Santa.
We got one from Ty Nelson. Ty Nelson says, Dear Santa, I've been a good hoe this year. Listened to every episode. Laughed a lot. Rolled my eyes a lot. I've made friends in the hoe community.
That's trying what you think.
Trying to keep an open mind and broaden the types of films I watch. Having said that, I want two things. The first, we need to be controversy-free in Hollywood so we can just focus on the films and TV shows coming out. The second, for another great year of film, fun, and gab from the hoe family of podcasts and online community. Thanks, Hannah.
Controversy-free in Hollywood, forget about it. This is just the iceberg. The Titanic still hadn't even got close yet. This iceberg's not even on the radar yet. So get ready, and it's coming.
Hang on, Santa.
I think we're getting some bad reception from the North Pole.
We got to reconnect you, Santa. The North Pole is a little shady there.
Well, it must be the Aurora Borealis stuff up here. Causing
Scott, where are we at? Where's your letter?
What's he got talking about? Lots of good conversations with those from the whole community.
Wish I can grant.
Yeah. Yes.
Could part of that wish be good internet?
I think we just got staticky internet. Maybe a storm on my front. We got a storm here, so it could be on our end too.
All right.
Okay.
Whatever. I'll go along with it because we want to keep Brian in a good mood. I'll play your silly reindeer game, Santa.
Oh, I love it when we lose John.
Yeah, when we lose John, though, it ain't because of internet connection. All right, Ty, but what I can do for you here is I can guarantee you another great year of fun filming from the Hope family, and of course some fun interactive stuff on the interwebs here. So thanks for writing in.
I've got a letter of my own. This is from me. I want you to answer two questions for me if you would.
All right.
Number one, how exactly do you get in and out of the houses without chimneys? I've always wanted to know the answer to that.
That's kind of like saying, how much does a car cost? Or
what?
Yeah, it's there's so many, there's so each many facets to these questions. You know, you want something very specific. However, it's a trade secret. Mm. I got to have some tricks up my sleeve. Otherwise, there'll be all sorts of Santa impersonators, right? So let's just say there's a way into every single home out there. And I'm talking everyone from the hood with the bars on the windows and the doors, all the way to the luxury mansions in Beverly Hills. I got my ways. They each require a certain specific set of skills.
Do you ever steal from somebody? Like, I'll give you this gift, but I'm taking this one. You're like, Santa needs a new 65-inch.
I've never stolen. I've only taken what's been left out for Santa.
Have they ever left their wives out?
I have been propositioned a couple of times. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
But you know, I'm pretty faithful to Mrs. Claus. So.
Pretty faithful.
Pretty faithful.
Mostly.
Not like faithful. I'm it depends pretty
if
she, faithful.
If she's only wearing stockings, what do you expect Santa to do? My second part to my question, really it's two questions. Can you explain what the Christmas spirit is?
Okay. Well, that's actually my favorite part of this whole season. It's people are more selfless, right? So there's a stronger focus on serving others, helping those that are in need or maybe not as advantaged as they are. And also just lifting other people's spirits in general. And I mean, that's kind of what Santa's all about here. So honestly, there are probably some traits that should be present the other 11 months of the year. But, you know, I'll take what I can get right now.
Oh, like what brings it out? Do you know what brings the Christmas spirit out? Can we get it the other 11 months? Is there a way that we can exercise it from people?
Well, there's nothing. I can't do that. That's up to the individual people to do that. They have to make a conscious effort to say, you know what? I know I'm in a hurry, but let me hold this door open for somebody. Let me give a little bit of money or let me just maybe not even give money to this homeless person on the street. Let me just buy them a lunch. Little things like that can go a long way and have a huge ripple effect down the line.
If it were an Instagram challenge, they would.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the help a bum challenge, whatever.
All right, make that a hashtag. I like it.
Maybe somebody who's got better marketing skills than me come up with a better title.
Probably.
But you get the idea.
Yeah.
And this is from Scott Calgaro. I'm sorry, not Craig Schermerhorn. Something like that. One of these guys. What was your favorite present that you ever received from Craig Schermerhorn?
I don't know if this is because it's so fresh in my mind, but last year I might have got the most thoughtful, awesome gift I ever got, and it surprisingly was from my mom. She sends my brother and I a gift every year that we open in front of her on the phone, which, like I mentioned earlier, was a little awkward, but this was really cool. As you guys know, I'm a huge Legend of Zelda fan. This is my video game segment in this, but my mom actually sought out on eBay and bought like a legit Legend of Zelda Master Sword, which is a full blown, like real metal, real handle, real hilt, little thing to hang it on the wall. I'm talking like a good 3-4 foot sword. And it's
Did
just,
you kill somebody with it?
No, it's just, it's in my basement right now though. It's really awesome. And it's just cause nobody ever, outside of Aaron and my mother-in-law, those are the only people that have ever bought me anything Zelda related for Christmas. And that was just, and the fact that my mom actually sought that out and, got it shipped to my wife's girlfriend at the time and now fiance and had her like repaint some of the stuff on it. There was some work put into it. That was just like a really cool, awesome thing to put into my Zelda collection. Cause I collect anything and everything Zelda at my house. That was really cool. Couple that with the fact that she also threw in a bunch of cassette tapes, which we opened up a bag of cassette tapes and we're like, what the hell is this? My brother and I, when we were kids, we had a tape recorder and we used to just tape each other doing goofy stuff. But, for part of it, we had, Marshall, my brother's name is Marshall. We had Scott and Marshall's radio show and I used to like make a fake radio show. This is when I was like 10, 11, 12 years old. My brother is 5 years younger than me. And at one point in there, we're listening to it and, he and I start to review a video game, which for me was like, I didn't even remember that we did that until I started listening to that. And that was like, in my mind, I was like, wow, I was just destined to be, you know, to be a video game reviewer or to be some kind of reviewer of media. And it was just really cool. There's actually a really cool picture that my wife took of the two of us sitting up in his he's got like a little alcove in the top of his living room where we sat and listened to these tapes together wearing Santa hats at Christmas, just grinning from ear to ear to listen to our high-pitched voices from back when we were really young. And it was just a really cool moment. That was one of the best Christmas gifts. It was more than one just gift, but it was a very good combination that really worked for me. And I was really appreciative of that. So it was awesome.
Justin?
Early on into my marriage, I lost my wedding ring. And to this day, I think it was one of the cats had knocked it off the floor, off of a counter as cats are wont to do. And it just got lost somewhere, but I could never find it. And I felt terrible about it. But we couldn't afford at the time to replace it. But that Christmas, one of the big boxes opened up into a smaller box, into a smaller, into a smaller, until it got to the box with the ring in it. And it was an exact duplicate of the original, cause we bought it from like Kay's or one of those jewelers. So she was able to get one that was the exact same wedding ring as what I'd had before. And it just kind of just broke my heart that she had gone out and done that on her own and replaced a ring that the losing of, you know, didn't sit well for a time.
All right.
But it was nice of her to get me another one.
That's really sweet. Very sweet. Brian?
The first actually is kind of the first thing that I thought about, and I've just figured it was good enough.
Okay.
The Xbox, I got the X. Well, stay with me here.
All right.
The Xbox 360. That was the, it was, for one, it was a huge surprise. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I was just really floored that my, the girl who would eventually be my wife, gave that to me as my, you know, as a Christmas present. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, it was just such a shock because I don't think I got her anything nearly as expensive. But anyway, but also that's what basically that was my first foray into online gaming, and which is where I met Aaron and Scott. And then, of course, that relationship eventually led to me meeting Justin and then 4.5 years of doing this damn podcast. So,
wow.
Jeez, is that long? We've been doing it that long?
I know we should quit. Go out on top.
Oof. Go out on something. But yeah, so I mean it's amazing the ripple effect of you know, a gift. And so that's got a little special place somewhere deep down in that little void that there should be a heart sits. So
well, not to get back emotional again, but Lethal Weapon is, I'll explain.
Okay.
The grandfather that I was telling you about, the one that passed away at Christmas time, he was a preacher, Baptist preacher, devout Baptist preacher. Mm-hmm. This is a man that took me to see Platoon on accident because I wanted to see Platoon, didn't know what it was. I mean, it was an army movie, but he grew up with John Wayne army movies and Clint Eastwood army movies, not with Oliver Stone F-bomb army movies.
Right.
So we walk in, we were there exactly 15 minutes. And we walk out, and he demands his money back because of all the F-bombs. He's like, my grandson is not listening to this. You know, he's that kind of guy. Would never, ever take me to see an R-rated movie. In fact, he was adamant against it. So, I mean, that one day, we ended up seeing Mannequin instead. I'll never forget. God. Instead of Platoon, I got to see Mannequin.
As a kid, that'd be a bummer, but I actually kind of like Mannequin.
Yeah, Mannequin's is a good movie, but it was depressing. So, so Christmas comes, and he passed away, which is already horrible enough.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, never bought me a rated R movie. I get a present, and this is a present that he bought before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Lethal Weapon, and it's a rated R movie, and it's full of F-bombs, and he knows it. And my grandma, I'm in tears and everything. It's very emotional for me. And I know it sounds stupid, and some people are listening and like, well, it's just a movie. Well, if you knew my grandpa, that was a huge deal because he just does not believe in it, and he doesn't buy things. He doesn't buy things if he doesn't believe in them. That's just who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my grandma, I'm like, what, grandma, why would he buy that for me? I mean, he hates radar. He hates the fact that I watch them, you know? And she's like, well, he decided that it was finally time to admit you were a man.
Huh.
And it was like, I mean, how do you, just
man,
like,
you were like destroying my best Christmas present here.
It was, I still have that videotape to this day, even though, you know, it'll be hard to find a way to watch it.
Yeah.
But I still watch the movie every day because it reminds me of that moment. Oh, I don't know if you heard that, but I'm pretty sure Santa is back. All right, Scott.
Our last one comes from Angela Lee Wallach, and she says, Dear Santa, Merry Ho-mas to you and the missus. Send my love to Donner, in my opinion, the most underrated reindeer. Since I'm a Hollywood Outsider listener, I know I've made the good list. If you could do me a few solids, that would be awesome. Number one, make everyone watch Dirk Gently. Number two, provide me my very own real-life BB-8 and a Niffler. Number three, give me the ability to rewatch shows that I love like it's the first time that I've seen them. Number four, grant every hoe a Christmas wish. Number five, put me in charge of deciding which Chris, Evans, Pratt, and Hemsworth gives the best hugs. Lastly, if you could renew Agent Carter, that would be great. Sincerely, DJ Wallach.
Well, all right there, DJ Wallach. Let's, you've given me quite the list here to address, all right? So, number one, you're greedy as shit, all right? So, you know, this is just one of those things to where I'm going to have to spend way too much time on your list. So let's go ahead and start. Number one, make everyone watch Dirk Gently. I agree. Everybody should watch it. It's a fantastic show. I don't know what more credibility I can have by being Santa Claus. I mean, Santa Claus says, watch it, get off your ass and watch it. Put it on your queue list, your watch list, whatever you want to call it. All right, moving on. Provide me with my very own real life BB-8 and a Niffler. That's just not going to happen. Sorry. So, give you the ability to rewatch shows that I love. It's like it's the first time that I've seen them. No problem. I'll give you Alzheimer's.
Oh, shit. I did not see that coming.
Get ready for that, DJ. So let's go ahead. Grant every hoe a Christmas wish. They just got it. I showed up. Next, put me in charge of deciding which Chris, Evans, Pratt, or Hemsworth gives the best hugs. This is easy. It's Pratt, and it ain't even close. Evans is too big in the chest and big bulky stuff. He can't give you a good quality hug. Hemsworth, he's too tall and his arms are too long. He just wraps around you and you miss that vibe that you get from getting a really good hug. Pratt has the energy. He's got that charisma. He's not too big. He's not too small. He's a perfect size, and he will hug you better than any of the other two Chris's. It's science. Lastly, Agent Carter, yeah, that's not going to happen. So, if I can help it, it was boring.
I love how Santa's response is, yeah, it's not happening. That's not happening.
He's a realist. I admire this Santa. He's keeping it real. We need this in America. And Santa has a special – he wanted to address a certain letter. So, you ready, Santa?
He was actually down here towards one of the last entries here. Mr. Jack Saint, let's see. He says, Dear Santa, you know that one year when you didn't get me that one thing? Well, I'm older now, and I bought that one thing. Thanks for the heartbreak of that one Christmas morning. Hashtag, I'm Santa now, bitch. Well, Mr. Saint, if that is your real name, let me tell you something. I gave you the gift of self-reliance and independence to take care of you and your family. So that is a lifelong gift that just you can't even put a price tag on it. So I'm sorry you didn't open up that box and see the big pneumatic anal intruder thing that you rushed for that year. So that's, you know, I'm sorry to disappoint you in that way. However, I gave you something much more valuable. You know, you should be a little bit more appreciative there. Anyway,
okay.
I ain't spend too much time on Mr. Saint.
All right, let's talk about movie and TV cliches, Christmas cliches. Normally we discuss cliches, we're talking about the ones that annoy us. But when it comes to Christmas movies, there's often like little moments we each love in our holiday movies that actually make them a little bit more endearing. So, what are the cliches you find in Christmas movie or TV specials that you either look forward to or make the experience even better? And we'll kind of round robin, just like top three.
So I get to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
One of my favorites is it's done so many times and part of me gets tired of it, but I still love it. Adults don't believe in Santa Claus. The kids do. And something happens where the kids make the adult believe in Santa Claus again.
You love that one?
I love that. I mean, the Santa Claus, they do it. And, you know, it's just there's that sweet moment where they remember what it's like to be a kid and to believe in Santa. And in all of these movies, he is real. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I love that. I know it's done so many times, but I absolutely adore it.
That's a good pick.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I love the cold-hearted, distant, and lonely person who hates the holidays, but somebody warms them up to the Christmas spirit. Yep. And by the end of the movie, they're like, all right, Christmas ain't so bad after all.
Yeah, especially when like you learn about that person, about why they hate Christmas so much. Like they had some traumatic event. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Phoebe Cates and Gremlins, and then she's got the most horrible story in Christmas movies.
Or a Christmas Carol. Like Scrooge.
Even the Grinch.
Yeah.
Yeah, even the Grinch. Like, I just love where you see their backstory because you hate the character so much. They're just this cold-hearted person, but you kind of empathize with them a little bit. and then they go through something, and then they're just
and then there's always somebody around who helps bring them to the Christmas spirit and like loving that, and that's what it's all about, is, you know, that kind of love between people for Christmas.
To tie into that one a little bit too, because this is kind of along the same boat, and I know because I mentioned Christmas Carol, but I also love it when they do these movies where people are talking about. The person is seeing other people talk about him when he's not around.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like again, Christmas Carol. You know what I mean? Like when they're playing the game, Tight as a Drum and SS Minnow and all that kind of stuff. And then they come back and when he's all happy and in love with Christmas again, he references that conversation to them and they're like, how the hell did he know that? Like, I don't know. I like that. So
one that I really love is, I don't know if it's still very prominent in the Me Too era, but
oh boy,
Kissing Under the Mistletoe.
Oh,
I love Kissing Under the Mistletoe when they have that in the movie where like there's mistletoe and then you look at them and you're like, we got to make out, and they do. Nowadays probably can't do it because now you make that joke and like, you just assaulted me and we're not cool with that.
Well, so, it's two people who are agreeing to go under the mistletoe.
Well, is it because I used to carry mistletoe around?
I had a little hat that had like a thing that would like hang it in front of my head like this. And just
really?
Walk. No, I'm just.
I could see you wearing a hat like that, though.
I totally did used to carry it around with me and just hold it up and be like, anybody? Anybody? And
that's when Scott kissed you.
No, that's when an HR called.
Yeah. So I used to hang it from the front of my belt and then.
And then Scott took it too far.
It was still funny.
Anything else, Scott? What else you got?
I love it in a movie when something happens that makes family and friends just reconnect that haven't been together. Even in Christmas Chronicles did that, where I don't spoiling it, but there's a character that a police officer that Kurt Russell runs into.
Yeah.
There's a side story that happens, and I love that. People that haven't talked and they come together and they talk because it's Christmas, and that's when you're supposed to reconcile and do that. I don't know. That's Christmas spirit to me.
Yep, I agree. I like when something tragic happens that to Santa.
You've got some dark ones, man. Wait.
Something tragic happens to Santa that kind of halts his mission to get presents to Christmas, but it resolves itself in the end. It's basically just a plot point.
Yeah.
Where something happens to Santa.
I love when we have talking animals.
Do you really?
It's like the only kind of movie I'm okay with it in. Where you just have random animals or creatures or snowmen or whatever that just start talking.
Okay, because I'm like trying to rack my brain to think of one.
Well, I mean like reindeer or elves in Christmas Chronicles, the most recent one, or snowman, Frosty the Snowman. You know, just whenever I hear, I normally don't like that because I'm just like, that's so Disney-fied. But for whatever reason, in Christmas
movies. Lion King
movies,
says hi.
Yeah. Christmas movies, I really love it. I just really love it. I think it's just, I don't know
why. I wouldn't have expected that, honestly. Yeah.
Me either.
So. I love it in a movie when there is a kids' Christmas program that goes horribly wrong for some reason. even Home Alone, when the brother puts the two candle lights like behind his ears, and then the whole thing goes to crap, or I don't know. Love Actually, when they've got like lobsters for some reason. I just love it when there's something about that in the family. Just it's a memorable thing and for horrible reasons. I don't know. I like that. I was big in Christmas programs when I was in school as a kid. So
yeah, I get that.
That was a big deal.
On a side note for Home Alone, because I just watched it this morning in its entirety, they are mean to him, to Kevin.
You did finally watch it?
I did.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah. So do you like that movie?
I like it for being a Christmas movie, but I definitely have some concerns about this family.
We actually were going to have a bit where you would talk about that movie in terms of, because you'd never seen it. So
I want to know what Mr. McAllister does for a living to be able to afford that house and to take, what, 9 people to
Paris? Electricity bill. That's what I want to figure out.
No, what I want to figure out is, how do you not know your child is there? You freaking jackass. No, they don't. Nothing you can tell me explains their behavior.
No, I understand they completely forgot till they got on the plane. And I was like, this is like horrible.
We're having a Home Alone tangent right now.
But they did did a head count. The one person did a head count. And I'm like, as a parent, I don't know that I would trust some other person to do the head count for all of the kids that are going when there's like 15 of us.
I can tell you. No, you would not as a parent. You would make sure your child was accounted for.
Yeah. But I appreciate
Scott's a teacher and he knows to do that. Like, hey, all 26 of you? Yep. Gotcha. Good job. You don't just forget like the one you birthed.
Well, the count was right, I think. It was just because there was that one kid. Yeah, the neighbor kid was there.
No, I get it. Okay. Nothing you're saying can justify that kind of
cluster. The fact that they got on the plane without him.
Yes. Yeah. Like, nobody's like, where's Kev?
Especially because everybody's...
Well, he's number 13. Oh, okay. Well, as long as 13's here, we're good. What? No.
I think where's the bigger one of the even bigger concerns was that they let Kevin get on another plane in the sequel.
Yeah.
Because he
did they really?
Yeah, like he went on the spoiler wrong plane. Alert. Spoiler alert. It's like the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Like he has his boarding pass and he's running to get on there, but he went to the wrong terminal and he bumped into the stewardess lady that had all the other boarding passes and dropped it. And they all got mixed together and the plane was about to leave. And he's like, my dad's right there. And they're like, okay, we'll just go ahead and get on the plane. Like, that would not happen today. No.
Wow.
It wouldn't happen then either.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen.
It's just like,
either.
I mean, I get it. They had to stretch it to make the movie work. But it's hard to watch a movie and go, nah, it's not going to happen.
It's still fun. Yeah.
I do love the movie.
I watched Home Alone already, and I'm going to be watching it at least again. The music and
he's clever.
The goofiness.
He's violent. He's a serial killer. Really what Kevin is. He's a serial killer.
I really have a hard time watching the pokey thing through his foot scene on the stairs.
Oh.
That is like, is it Daniel Stern? Is that his name? That mm-hmm. that like does that the best high pitched girly scream?
Yeah,
it's a grown good. Man is so good. Ah, oh, I love it. The sequel's pretty funny too, but not as good as the first.
My last one is.
Wait, do I get to say my?
Oh,
last
I thought
one?
You did. You? I'm
no,
sorry.
We just started talking about Home Alone.
Okay.
My last.
I just slapped my face. Nobody can see it or hear it.
Which, you know, can we talk about that for a second? Because that bothers me. The reason that aftershave makes your face burn is because you're shaving your face and you've got tiny little, you know, you've opened the pores on that. And he's not actually shaving. So
yeah,
no
I was
going to
ask about this. I was like, did he just have like glue on his hand?
Wait,
or something?
That's where the believability comes into kind of question for you is that part.
No, I mean, it's just,
not abandoning the child. Not the guys that the guys are trying to break in and determined to kill this child.
Yeah,
and him trying to kill them. None of that. But the shaving cream, it's a little step too far.
It's not shaving cream. It's aftershave.
Well, whatever. That's
no,
too far.
That scene has been so iconic. When that movie came out, it was the everyone was doing
it still
the
is. Yeah
like
yeah.
Every, that was the thing and like there was no reason for him to be doing it because he was what was he mimicking his dad when
yeah
dad put on aftershave lotion and talked about the burn so he just assumed there's supposed to be like if you put this stuff on it makes your face burn. That's
you just made the whole movie fall apart. I don't even want to watch it anymore.
Yeah,
you're welcome. Christmas. Yeah,
what can I say except you're welcome. It's not a Christmas movie.
He just did Moana for no reason.
That's a great movie. I'm really sad that it's off of Netflix.
What's your last one?
Okay, so this is me being a woman. I love when there's a guy who makes a stupid mistake and then he realizes, oh, I let the girl go. And then maybe it's at the airport or whatever he does, but it's for the Christmas time. And he goes out and he finds her and he tries to make the resolution. Like he tries to fix whatever wrongs he did. And by the end of the movie, they're back together.
That's just a romantic comedy. You just gave like the third piece of the formula to a romantic comedy.
Yeah, but it happens at Christmas time.
Oh boy.
There's snow on the ground. There's a mistletoe and then they kiss.
And there's terrorists and the you know.
That is on my 9/11. Last one is when terrorists show up. I just love that part of it. No, my final one is when you get cuz you always have like Christmas classic songs throughout the movie.
Yeah.
But whenever you're at the end you get that original, you get an original Christmas song.
Oh, yeah.
Where they have a new one that's just catchy and you can add it to your rotation. So it's, to me it's like a twofer. I get a movie and a song. I love that.
Hmm.
Nice. I have a bonus one. I love it in the stories when, for whatever reason, Santa can't deliver the presents and has to rely on a kid or somebody else to deliver the presents for them. I think that's fun. I just love again. It kind of ties in with the kids don't believe or adults don't believe in Santa Claus thing, and they're forced to believe in Santa Claus because they have to do the job. I don't know. I love that.
No, I love that too. I also tying into that love when. Because every movie has a different way to explain the rules of how Santa does it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that too. Like just the different very options of how Santa gets to every house, how he delivers, how he drops the chimney, you know, all that stuff. Just I love the variations that every movie has to.
I have my theory about that, by the way. I was talking to my wife about this.
You have an actual theory about
it? Yeah, I believe that.
Because Santa's real.
Well, right.
We just talked to him earlier.
We did. So Santa, everyone says like Santa only works one day a year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he does. I think he's actually delivering all year long, but nobody knows he's there. And through the power of magic and whatnot, it
becomes evident to you on Christmas Day.
Yeah,
so it's like a hologram.
Exactly.
Or
there's
like
a
invisible
time vortex or something. So he's actually working because I mean I can buy that he could deliver to every house
all
over 365 days, but that one night garbage doesn't make any sense. But
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Good theory.
Yeah.
What happens to the cookies though?
Mom and dad actually eat those.
Mom and dad are
dicks.
They're hungry.
They're hangry.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys ready for a game?
I love games.
All right. Amanda, take us to our game that we're playing for the Christmas episode.
It's called How Do You Save Christmas? So the premise is you wake up to find all of your family's presents and food for the festivities have been stolen and every store is now closed. You have access to Vince Vaughn's Fred Claus, Will Ferrell's Elf Buddy, and Billy Bob Thornton's Bad Santa to help, but you only have time to ask one of them. How are you going to save Christmas? Aaron Peterson.
Well, I pick Bad Santa. Yeah, I definitely want Big Santa. Because not Big Santa, Bad
pick
Santa.
Him
Big Santa?
I want Big Bad Santa because, you know, every store is closed. But I also have a thief handy who knows how to get in there. So what I would do is I would mention, air quotes, to him all the stuff we need, gifts, food, whatever. And if somehow all of that were to end up on my front door, I'd get him a date with my Mrs. Claus. You know, you do what you have to do for Christmas, man.
Wow, that got awkward fast.
Awkward?
Not really.
I saved Christmas. I'm just, save
just trying to think. Give me a list. Don't be surprised if I crawl down your chimney later.
Santa Claus, do you have an idea?
Oh, yeah, but I can't tell them ideas right now. Let's see. Honestly, that was kind of the same thing I was thinking is Bad Santa, because he's got the skills to get the items I'm looking for. And you're going to need somebody who can access these department stores. So, yeah, he seems to be the elf. Yeah, Wolf. Yeah, all these elf buddies and stuff. Yeah, he just, they're just too spastic.
Too much for you? You can't handle it?
Santa! Oh, shoot him. I can't handle it. I can't do it.
I need somebody focused. There's a short amount of time. Yeah, it's sad to put all your eggs in that one basket, but
it's the wrong holiday.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that. I'd say Bad Santa. He's just got the skills to get it done.
All right, Scott, what about you?
Well, apparently I put way too much thought into this because I got some plans.
I bet you're gonna wait. I'm making a prediction.
Okay.
You're gonna use Elf.
Well, I mean, obviously, that's the easy answer. The dude can make Christmas out of anything in no time flat. Why would he not be your guy to rescue your party?
Yep.
All right, so we got three-step process. Step one, the presents and food may have been stolen, but not a drop of alcohol was mentioned. So the first order of business is to put Buddy to work using the various bottles of alcohol I've got stashed in my bar to decorate the venue with a Christmas theme. I'm thinking a liquor dispenser in the shape of a Christmas tree. You know, one of those that spins around and allows everyone to mix their own beverages directly from the tree.
Okay.
It's also vital that Buddy himself partakes in the beverages because, let's be honest, we all want to see that, right? I mean, come on. I want to see Buddy the Elf just wasted.
I'm on board.
Plus, the party is ostensibly saved with alcohol, even if there is no food or presents. So, there we go. Step two. This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. For fast delivery from your favorite fast food or otherwise restaurant, there's no quicker solution to provide exactly what everyone wants to eat in one single order. Plus, no one has to act like they actually enjoy potlucks for this party. So DoorDash, DoorDash.com. Step three, Buddy is the master of arts and crafts. Despite the gifts being stolen, there's still plenty of construction paper, scissors, glue, tape, and ribbons floating around my house. I'd commission Buddy to make personalized gifts for everyone at the party based on their interests from their Facebook profiles or info from me if they don't have Facebook. Within a matter of 2 hours, the party is ready to go.
That's a good process.
I like it. Yeah, that works for me.
Everybody's trashed, so it doesn't matter what presents they get anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Damn, Scott.
You thought that up. Amanda, did you have one or you're just playing?
Yeah. So I also went with Elf and went with Buddy because he, like Scott said, he's the one who can make Christmas happen from absolutely nothing. He's also the man who can break in or hide into a department store if needed. So I trust him to go break into the store and obtain all of the objects that are needed for both the food and for the presents that we have for the festivities. All I have to do is repay him in syrup, ice cream, and various sweet treats, which I guarantee you I have handy. So ice this cream. Is an easy job for me.
This is where Brian and I probably differ from you. To me, Buddy ruins Christmas because I just want to throw him off a bridge.
How does it feel to be wrong so often, Aaron?
I'm on Team Aaron with this. Yeah, absolutely.
You get the hands and I'll get the feet.
Nobody said he had to stay around once the festivities began. Yeah. All that's said is that he has to be able to be set the one to get the presents and the food prepared, ready to go.
Plus, you really want bad Santa at your party?
Yes.
I do not.
Absolutely.
No, you
balls
wouldn't.
Everywhere? No, thank you.
You don't want the drunks there that are at my Christmas party.
Literally, balls everywhere. Yeah.
It's bad Santa.
I feel bad for Fred Claus. He didn't get any love whatsoever. He's got a direct line to Santa, who has magic and can literally make this happen in a snap of his fingers.
See, I considered that one, but I wanted somebody who had the Christmas spirit and the Christmas cheer. And even though you guys feel like Buddy the Elf is a little bit too much, which is fair, he's pretty good with everybody who's not his father. So he can handle putting things together and making people feel special, which is what I'm going to want him to do, and getting these presents prepared and getting all the food. And also, I don't want to be responsible for breaking into a store.
Yeah. Number one, I'm going to make everybody feel special. Buddy doesn't need to do that. He's just got to get me the shit. That's all I need him to do.
I think Buddy's
Bad
a little
Santa,
special.
I'll give him a, you know, give him a bottle of whiskey and an eight ball and he'll be fine.
All right. Building a perfect holiday movie. So that's what we're going to do this time. And what that means is we're going to discuss the highs and the lows of holiday films, what works for us, what turns us off completely about the entire genre. And then we're going to put together our personal take on the genre itself and each build our own perfect holiday film tailored to our preferences, one would imagine. So right off the gate, what do you love in your holiday movies, John?
What I think about that and think about holiday movies, I go through the list of the holiday movies that I love the most, which, you know, I come to Home for the Holidays, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Scrooge, Love Actually. And the things that I've discovered that I like about are like one of the things that kind of links them all together is the common theme of people who are faced with some sort of adversity and learn how to open themselves up to love and hope a lot more. And I like seeing that, no matter if it's done in a cartoonish way or a very serious way, but I like seeing people learn how to be more magical, more hopeful, more loving. And that's what I like to see in it.
I like a lot of love. I feel like it's not Christmas if love is not in the air. It can be romantic love, which is, you know, something that I enjoy any time of year, but familial love is super important. You have to be around your family. You have to want to be around your family. I feel like it's weird. Although it can be true that there are some dysfunctional families that just don't want to be with each other at Christmas.
Some.
That doesn't make me feel good.
Some. That's like most
okay,
of them.
A lot of them.
Let's be honest. Like every time people get together, like, God, when do we get to leave?
Oh, no, I don't feel that way at all.
Oh, me neither. I was just speaking for others.
But that moment when you're with your family and then they just, everything's a disaster. I don't like that sort of thing. So I like when the families want to be with each other. They, you know, maybe there's something that's distracting them and then they find their way back to, you know, recognizing what the spirit of Christmas or the holiday is all about. I'm also a really big fan of the visual decorations. If I don't see snow, like if we're in Florida, it's not Christmas or holiday for me. So we're going to need to be near the snow or it's got to be cold. I've got to feel like this is winter time.
Are you like that in the real world too? I mean, for holidays, you just have, if it's not Christmas, if you don't feel cold.
Yeah, that could be a Midwest thing. Like, I've grown up in the Midwest, so Christmas to me is associated with winter. But I think for at least a lot of us, when we think about Christmas or the holidays, we think about a winter wonderland. And so that, to me, is synonymous with happiness, with the Yuletide cheer, with all that good stuff. So for me, I have to see it. And the prettier, the better. Like, if I just see a couple things in the background, I'm hardly going to be interested. I want it to fill the whole screen. I want it to look like they spent $8,000 on decorations.
Jesus, you're demanding. And apparently, well, you love families that are bankrupt.
Like Home Alone.
Yeah. Wow. No, that's just the worst family. I don't care what anybody says, that they are the worst family ever. How do you get to New York or wherever before you realize your kid's not with you? There's zero excuses for that. Insane to me.
A checklist, man.
Do you need a checklist to remember your child? I don't think
there's a lot of people there. If they just do like they, if you're a teacher or whatever, and you go on a field trip, you have to like check mark that you have all the people.
Yeah.
If there's a fire in your building, your boss has to count your head on a little checklist and account for you. If you have to struggle with accounting for your child, make a list and check it twice, like Santa.
I wonder,
kids aren't that important.
Do you think bosses do it like parents do, where they don't count people they don't really like? They're like, yeah, Bobby was here, I thought. Weird.
I know I don't.
Ouch. Anything else,
Why
Amanda?
Why did you sound like E.T.?
I don't know. Don't judge me. Anything else?
It's a holiday movie of sorts.
Yeah, it's love. Loving family, right? Dysfunctional, sure, but loving, yeah, just like you said.
I'm also a really big fan of comedy in my holiday movies.
You want upbeat, it's just, you want joy, you want,
yes, okay. I want it to be happy. I want to laugh with it. And I also really enjoy rekindling. So if there's any sort of like brokenness in a any sort of friendship, relationship, anything, I want that to be fixed. Because then it's like, oh, they're happy again. That's inevitably what the movie should make me feel by the end of it, is happy. Or I love it if I cry. You get extra points if you cry, though that's not hard to achieve.
See, I'm with you on 2 points already, the loving family and the happy ending. Believe it or not, I have to have a happy ending. Or I prefer it. I prefer it. So I'm with you on that. That's good.
Okay.
You know what's,
so what else is on yours?
You know what's funny about holiday movies is you can say it's the only holiday where everybody knows you mean Christmas.
Yes, but I did throw in a Thanksgiving movie myself, so...
Well, that's because, ooh, you got to be every time we do one of these, he has to do something. I'm different. Artist, freaking artist. All right.
I am different.
So
don't you make fun of me.
The stuff that I love in my holiday movies that really, we mean Christmas, but apparently we also mean Thanksgiving is, but I would say Thanksgiving falls into it. It's same kind of concept, family, holiday gatherings. I want, contrary to Amanda, I want snarky wit. I do not like just, I do not like cheesy. I can't stand A Christmas Story. I do not like that movie. And there's a reason I do not like the humor at all.
I don't like it either.
It's just not funny to me. I like edgy comedy in my holiday movies. Even Christmas Vacation has some of that. You know, Chevy Chase, he's trying to be a great dad for most of the movie. But when he loses it, that's what, to me, real people talk like. So maybe not publicly, and maybe not kidnapping their boss and all that stuff, but the other stuff. So I like a little edgy comedy, like wit. I want a real dilemma with some emotional heft. Like, it doesn't have to be dire, but I need something a little bit more substantive than Tommy isn't getting the toy he wants for Christmas, and I need to murder strangers to get it for him. I don't like
that. Does that movie exist?
I mean, that Arnold Schwarzenegger one's pretty close, right?
Yeah.
Jingle All the Way, he would have killed people for it, sure. Just to get that.
Some would say Sinbad barely survived that movie.
Puppies and Little Kids. I'm a sucker for Puppies and Little Kids.
Yeah.
Holidays are always better with puppies and children, right? But
yeah.
Well, puppies.
Honestly, John, I'm kind of, that's honestly the only time I want little kids around. That's it. Every other time you're like, oh, I'm going to bring little Billy over. I'd rather you didn't. I really would rather you didn't. Well, no, he's so cute. Yeah, I did kids. Yeah. So,
but little Billy is going to be the only kid around, and everybody else is going to get fucking sloshed. And you know, you don't need to bring Billy around for that.
Exactly. And the worst part is, people always think they're
so strict. And then their kid runs around wild and they're like, oh, he's just had too much sugar today. No, you are a lousy parent. That's ultimately what happened here. Tell your child no. So I think I need more no's in my Christmas movies. I need a kid who's not spoiled. Right. It's very important. But I do like puppies and little kids. Believe it or not, I love a good song in my holiday movies.
I don't believe it.
That's a good one.
It's true. It can be winsome, like a carol or a musical number out of nowhere. Just good musical vibes. I mean, just a good soundtrack. But I want something musical, some moment, whatever it is. And if you can do it with Chris Isaac, that's a bonus. Just a heads up.
I love the ending of Scrooge when they're doing the sing-along and he's talking at the audience of the movie.
Oh, I don't even love that movie, but I love that moment.
Yeah, it's a great moment.
There's something about just sitting together. It's a Wonderful Life when they're all singing at the end. I mean, together, and it's just, well, not really singing, but they're celebrating together. And then to me, it just feels like one of those moments. And I love anything that gives me that feeling. There was a Daddy's Home 2, I think it was. It was a Christmas one. And didn't they have like a...
Oh, that one is so funny.
A big song moment in it.
Bad Mom's Christmas was pretty great.
I don't know the answer to your question, Aaron, but John, I agree.
Bad Mom's. I wish they would make another one of those. I like those. Those are my big ones for what I love in holiday movies. And Amanda already talked about Happy Ending and Loving Family. Those are the other things. So what's a complete turnoff?
Saccharin, really. Anything that has too much saccharin to it, or people who
sappy
look like, what's that?
Sappy, like sappy, you know.
Yeah, cheesy. Way too sappy, not too, like, when they take the idea of how the realism and make everyone just so joyous. Like, I like the idea of people, that's where this is how I the dichotomy of my life. I like it when people are real and they really start feeling hope and joy and they start sharing that hope and joy in their lives and everyone's just so happy. But I hate seeing people be like, I'm so happy and joyous. Look at me. Woo! I want to take those people and bury their heads in the snow and not let them up.
See, John wants to murder people.
This got real dark.
Kind of, yeah.
What are you talking about?
You just talked about murdering people in the snow. Or maybe they can breathe under snow with their heads buried in it. I don't know. I've never had that done.
I don't know. Maybe they're part fish. I don't care.
Anything else to turn off for you, Satan?
No, mostly that whole sappy saccharine stuff. I really just want to see people, when it comes to Christmas, just be real and at the same time express joy in a real way and not something that's just stupid or cartoonish or what they think they should be feeling. When it comes to being like, this is what Hollywood and what Hallmark Channel has taught me I'm supposed to be like during a Christmas movie, and this is how I'm going to do it. No, I hate that.
I think that's why I love The Ref, because it never does that. It's completely... Yeah. Even though, you know, I know it's you're not supposed to like a movie with Kevin Spacey in it, but it's a Christmas movie. And if you know anything about Kevin Spacey, you know he always comes back at Christmas. It's one of those movies where the humor always works for me. Like, and it never goes to cheesy. It never goes to, it's actually very, very real and about like really real family struggles that happen and how they're dealt with. And then actually the guy that's supposed to be the bad guy or the lead, however you look at him, he's losing his mind because these people are so real.
Slipper socks, medium. I have a story about slipper socks, medium, for one of my family Christmases, if you don't mind me sharing.
No, please do.
So, all right. So my mother, who I lost at Christmas time a couple years before this, we're all at the house where I'm at right now. We're all enjoying Christmas and we're all unwrapping presents. And I unwrap this present and my mom's sitting next to me and she is so excited for me to be unwrapping this present. She hands it to me and she's like, I can't wait to see the look on your face when you open this. And I'm like, great. And so I open it and what I unwrap is like this puffy, one of those down feather puffy vests. So it looks like the vest that Marty McFly wears.
That's exactly what I pictured.
Yeah, that's what we're all picturing about.
Like I was like,
I was looking at, I hold it up and it's orange. And I'm like, I don't mind the orange, but this big orange vest, and I'm looking at it and I look at this thing. I look at my mom and she's got this big grin on her face and she's so happy she gave me this. And I look at it again and I go, you gotta be fucking kidding me, mom. Oh. And she's like, what? I thought you'd like it. I'm like, I live in Florida. What am I going to do with this? So, yeah, I feel like a monster every time I tell that story, but I love that story so much because my mom was cracking up as she's sitting there playing, trying to play innocent. And then we did take the next day, we took that puffy vest back to the store and I traded it in for what is my all-time favorite sweater that I wear every year, and I can't wait to wear it. And I've lost so much weight now that the thing looks like a freaking tent on me, but I don't care because my mom gave it to me and I love it.
Oh, you closed that up real sweet.
Yeah, see? That's my exact point. I could have been like, it's so great. Thanks, Ma.
But although you made your mom go to the store and take it back. I mean, that was kind of...
I went with her, but that's still...
Yeah, you did so poorly at this choice.
I love how some very adult man is like, come on, Mom, let's go to the store.
Let's go to the store. Don't just give me the receipt and make me do it myself. No, you drive. You made this call all on your own.
You're going to learn your bad decisions.
You did not confer with me on the... See, the thing is that the other part of this joke that's funny is over the years, I have learned to never ask my family for clothing, because if you ask for one thing that's nice, you're going to get that shirt in every single color there is on the planet.
Hey, I respect that. That means you got lots of those things.
Right. But you know, I want variety, so I would actually
you
go
got
to the,
different
I,
colors. That's variety. God, you're so demanding.
You're so picky and needy.
Mom, you got me five I colors totally of the am. Same shirt. We're going back to the store. You're driving.
back in the 90s, before the internet and before Amazon, I actually used to go to make my Christmas list. I would go to the store and write down the SKU numbers for her of the things that I like.
Wow, you just did not trust your mother. You just did not trust your mother at all.
I did not. One year she comes back and she's like, hey, did you want a job at Dillard's? And I'm like, I don't know, I guess. Why? Well, the lady at Dillard's was so impressed by your itemized list and how you wrote down all the right numbers for her to find it that she was like, I want to hire the guy.
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny. Although it's very sad that you keep making your mom drive to the sports store. Why don't she just give you a gift card?
I can't anymore.
Ooh, Jesus.
That's messed up.
Oh, my God. What is it, people? I've got a couple friends that have lost their parents, and they all make freaking jokes about it. I don't know if I'll be able to get to that level. But I've got a buddy who lost his mom, and, you know, I said something about, I don't know, Mother's Day was coming up, and we were all asking, like, what were you getting? Were you getting your wives or your mothers for Mother's Day? And he's like, nothing. Get to save money this year. And I'm just like, what?
That's oh, my not, God.
How do you make this joke? He's like, it's my mom. I can say what I want. I'm like, okay.
Right.
All right. Apparently,
my wife and I used to have this thing where I couldn't say anything about her mom because we lost her mom. Mm. And then when I lost my mom, the whole mom jokes were no longer thrown in the house because she tried doing it once. And it was like, ah, ha-ha, you can't do that anymore.
All right. Well, this took a dark turn. So,
yeah.
Things that I don't, or did you have any more that you don't like other than orange vest?
I think I've spoken enough.
Okay. I don't like kids not getting what they want for Christmas. That drives me nuts. And I know it's a big factor of a lot of movies, and I don't like any of those movies. It's kiss my ass, kid. If your movie has it, I already don't like it. I don't like spoiled kids that I didn't get what I wanted and boo-hoo, and then the parents doing everything they can to make that kid happy. That kid is awful. They do not deserve anything, and it doesn't entertain me unless it happens to be like a Santa serial killer who takes out spoiled brats. Like, then maybe I can get on board. But I don't have any interest in watching a kid just bitch about what they didn't get because, I don't know, I grew up poor, so it hits a nerve. I don't like it. Be thankful, you son of a bitch. God, drives me nuts. Okay, that probably went too long, and I apologize.
That was weirdly timed, honestly.
Yeah, I'm very sorry.
Well, the things I...
Maybe I should be more thankful, huh?
Oh, okay.
Dad's pretending to be Santa. I don't like that. No one believes you, and you just ruined Christmas. You're a jackass. I don't like those.
Wow.
Yep. Don't like it.
They're just trying to do the right thing.
Those kids know. They look in your eyes and like, wait, Dad? And no, the kid never went, Dad, it's Santa Claus? No, the kid went, oh, so it's not real. You just ruined Christmas. You're awful. That's it.
Okay. I have really only one thing that bothers me as, in terms of a cliche.
When people say Die Hard is not a Christmas movie, because that bothers me too.
That too.
Yeah. Savages. That too.
Mine is actually about, so a lot of holiday movies, like I kind of mentioned, it's all about love and it's about bringing people together. What I really don't like, and this is applicable to like romance Valentine's Day movies too, is when one couple gets together by cheating on somebody. In Love Actually.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now, for the most part, I feel like I get around Love Actually and enjoy most of the movie. But stuff like that really bothers me. Because we're just ignoring all of the pain that you just caused this person to celebrate your happiness over here.
Trigger.
Yeah. Hell yeah, it is. But it's also just like real shitty. Like, we're just supposed to, I don't know. I don't like the concept that we're supposed to dismiss the consequences of people's actions on others just because we're focusing on one side of it. Like, that's not the complete picture of what's going on here.
You mean, are you speaking specifically with the whole doing the cards? Andrew Lincoln doing the cards to Keira Knightley? You're talking about that?
Well, I mean, in general, like, the thing that sticks out to me that really has this example is The Notebook. I know it's not a holiday movie. No,
hang on. I'm talking about in Love Actually, because you brought up Love Actually. So I want to make sure, is that the scene you're talking about, where the best friend is outside telling Keira Knightley how much he loves her? And, you know, the whole time, which is amazing, Amanda, you bring that up, because every time I watch it with a woman or women, they ooh and ah. And don't get me wrong, I think it's a delightful moment. As long as you don't stop for 5 seconds and think, that's his best friend. What an asshole. And she's entertaining it, which is giving him, is feeding him the road. All I can think about is this is going to end with someone dead on the side of the road. That's the only way that this ends.
And that's the reality, Aaron. Yes. Somebody dies.
This is a Dateline show if I ever saw it.
It totally is. Yeah. Oh, where'd Andrew Lincoln go? I don't know, but he was never seen again.
But yeah, it's just frustrating because Christmas and holidays, Thanksgiving, all of it's supposed to be about, I don't know if doing the right thing is part of it, but being your best self and others being their best selves and love and bringing people together. And to me, that's a very divisive action. So that doesn't really celebrate the holiday spirit, in my opinion. And I get real disdain for writers when they put that in there and directors who try to make you like, don't worry about that piece over here. Just look over on the left side. Let's look at this happy stuff. And it's like, I'm not an idiot. I can see the rest of what's happening here. So that's really my only thing for holiday movies that would turn me off. For the most part, I can work through anything as long as it's well put together, well rounded.
I kind of want to watch Love Actually again now.
It is a good movie.
It is a good movie.
It's a good movie, but that is a messed up, it's such a messed up scene. And people will defend that. And I'm like, if that was your best friend and you happen to be that gentleman that gets off his couch while his wife is apparently answering the door for 27 minutes. And doesn't think anything of it. And you happen to walk through the door and you see your best friend with a bunch of giant cue cards. Just think of the time it took to fill all that out. Make sure it's in sequence. Make sure you do it right. Make sure, you know, everything is perfect. And then you encourage her to already violate the trust, you know, right there at the door. He would be shot on the porch, I think. I think there's a good chance, you know, someone or at least attacked. Even carolers might attack him once they realize what the situation is. That would be the truth.
And to me, that situation is even worse because he's like, I don't want to use the word premeditated, but he's already determined that I have to try to keep this as secret as possible, knowing that my best friend could show up at any second. So let me use cue cards because I can't speak out loud. Otherwise, he could possibly hear me confess my love. So I'm just going to use the silent method so you can look at it and understand what I'm saying. And he's still behind closed doors of what's going on.
And she's glowing the whole time.
She loves it.
She's glowing. I mean, it's not like, this is uncomfortable, this is weird, you're officially creeping me out, and you will no longer be invited to parties. It is, I can't wait till he's not home and you come by. That's what that was.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's when you say, hey, Jerry, there's somebody at the front door. Did you order pizza? And then he comes up and he's like, what the f- is this?
The two of them were only married for like 5 minutes up until that point.
That makes
him
a worse friend, John. Worse.
Yeah. I know. That's why I bring it up.
Like, you couldn't wait a week. You couldn't wait a year. You couldn't give me some time to enjoy this, realize that I'm struggling or something. Like, maybe it's been 5 years. You know, I'm not happy. Whatever. Then at least you got something, but we literally just like walked out of the, walked down the aisle and you're already at the door. And apparently you've got placards. What? I
don't understand. You took the time to write it all out.
All it was missing was he busts out hand puppets at the end. He's like, let me act it out. Here's what happens if you run away with me.
That's exactly how I would have done
it. That's how I figured you would do it. That's how I pictured it for sure.
One of the puppets would be Godzilla.
I love you. Rawr.
And then Mothra is over here.
Monkey. Amanda, anything else you don't like about holiday movies or that bother you?
No. Okay. No.
Well, before we give our pitch, now we're going to give a pitch of like our own pitch for what a perfect holiday movie would be for us. But I'm kind of curious, do you guys have a movie you would consider a perfect holiday movie? From your perspective, not like in critical circles. I mean, your perspective. It's perfect to you.
Oh, from my perspective, the most perfect holiday movie there is The Scrooged.
Because?
Well, I feel like I used to make this journey. I don't know if I'm making this journey this year, but I make this journey every Christmas where over the span of a year, I get a little bit more irritable, a little bit more tired, a little bit more annoyed with the world in general. And then it comes the Christmas time and I start feeling that weight come off of me and I start remembering what the good things are out there in life and what is more important in life. And to see Cross go through this in Scrooge and to see how it goes, how Bill Murray portrays that character. I, every time he does one of those exclamations, I care. Like, those are things that I do in my real world as far as how I react to people. And just to see it boil down to what I feel like I would be like, or what people see at this time of year going through and remembering what's important. That's why I think it's a perfect holiday movie. I also like any iteration of the story that I can't remember the original name of right now.
Scrooged. It's wonderful.
Well, Scrooged, but what's the original
Christmas
name?
Story?
Oh, the Christmas story.
Oh, Christmas story?
Christmas yeah. Carol. Right. Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol. That's what it is. A Christmas Carol.
Christmas story is a crappy movie.
Right.
We don't talk about that one here.
People hate when I say it's crappy, but it's kind of crappy.
You'll shoot your eye out.
Mm-hmm. I wish I enjoyed that as much. Like, people enjoy it enough to have it on one network for 24 hours a day. What? Man, more power to you if you enjoy it that much. Amanda, what about you? Perfect Christmas movie. Do you have one?
Well, obviously Harry Potter. But additionally, I would say Elf. I know that one's a little bit more recent, but I absolutely love it. It makes me feel good. It makes me think about the holiday season. It makes me laugh. It's just a really feel-good movie. It's not the best movie, you know, in terms of critical analysis, but I love it as a perfect Christmas movie.
You know, perfect for me, it's very complicated. I really like dark themes in my Christmas movies. My favorite movie is The Ref, but I would probably, Die Hard's probably the closest I have to a perfect Christmas movie because I watch it every freaking year and I don't tire of it. You know, it's just, it's got action, it's got family themes, it's got Christmas, it's got music, it's got Christmas music, and, you know, it's an all-around fantastic movie. It's a Wonderful Life comes pretty close to, for me, I like that it really tackles depression well, for especially that time period when they never touched on mental health at all. So, you know, those are two that really stand out to me. They make me feel like Christmas. I don't feel like Christmas without them.
I'm surprised you didn't say something like Bad Santa.
That's more, it's fun to watch, but I would never say that's a perfect anything. And Bad Santa too, I would not even classify as a movie. So
fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. John, You go first. Give us your pitch. Incorporating your loves, I assume. Give us your perfect holiday movie.
All right. So this is here's my pitch. I want you to picture these two brothers. One of them's Nick. His being played by Chris Evans. The other one's Jack, played by Chris Pine. They haven't seen each other.
Where do I buy tickets?
Okay. So
Amanda's already lined up. She's got a lawn chair.
Hell yeah, I do. Let me grab my popcorn.
They haven't really seen each other very much over the years. They've grown very distant. One of them is a tech mogul, and the other one has become like a social media star. And both of them are becoming very popular and very high-level celebrities in their own rights. At one point, they end up getting this phone call from their sister, Danny, played by Rebecca Ferguson, and she calls them home for Christmas because their mother has suddenly died, and she thinks it's important for them, the two boys, to come home to be with their father during this period. The brothers decide that they're going to go ahead and do this, so they come home, they spend time with their father, John, who's played by Tom Hanks, and now here comes the twist, because just before the Christmas festivities start, a group of mercenaries come storming into the town and start taking things over because they're looking for a team of super spies. What the brothers don't realize is that the super spies turn out to be their sister and their father, who have to go and fight this team of mercenaries and save Christmas for this entire town. So these two brothers, who are hapless idiots who have spent their entire lives being pampered by success and by throwing themselves out in the world, suddenly have to learn how to love their family and work with their family even more because their lives now suddenly depend on it. Of course, they win and the bad guys get thrown out of the town or killed, whatever. From this point on, the two brothers find that they should be respecting each other more often and spending more time together with the family, mostly because they're afraid for their lives at this point too. And that's my Christmas movie.
I love it.
That's pretty good. I like it.
And well, of course, you already bought tickets. You didn't really care about the plot or anything else. Just like, fine. And
yep, essentially.
Budget's going to be $100 million, but you know, I want to see it. For sure.
But I thought it'd be a lot of fun just because it would be fun for a lot of different levels, because you'd see Chris Pine and Chris Evans play these characters who are not capable fighters by any means, but they suddenly have to learn, but they don't ever quite become a capable fighter, but it's more like a slapsticky kind of thing when you see them
funny.
On screen.
That would be fun.
You give Rebecca Ferguson a chance to do what she's been really good at, which is to be this badass chick that, you know, kills people. And then we get to see Tom Hanks in a sort of a position that we haven't seen him do, which is to give him a chance to be an action movie star for a bit, you know?
I dig this. Yeah, seriously, I hope somebody's listening. Go write that movie. Just story by John Davenport. Just remember that. I love it. Amanda, you or me? You go. Or I go.
I can give mine.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so I want to switch up the dynamic roles, because usually it's like a male and a female couple is our focus. I want to have a lesbian couple as the focus, played by Emilia Clarke and Jodie Comer.
Well, hang on. I need to buy popcorn and get a lawn chair. I'm in.
And they're really struggling with the expenses of alternative conception, and they just want to build a family. This creates a tug on them because Jodie Comer's character is working crazy hours trying to keep up with all of the financial aspects, and Emilia Clarke is dealing with the physical ailments of trying to conceive. They tell their family, who is across the country, that they can't make it for Christmas because they can't afford it, and, you know, they're just going to do a video call or whatever. But lo and behold, of course, they show up at their house with gifts and cheer and, ooh, happy. Amelia ends up taking her dad's phone, who coincidentally is played by Tom Hanks, and is widowed and afraid to get back out there. And she signs him up on a dating app. And, you know, this progresses obviously much better in the film, but he ends up meeting Meg Ryan's character at a local holiday event in town, and they fall in love, and he ends up bringing her over on Christmas Day as his date.
I like this.
It's mostly happy, but you have the struggle of the main couple who are dealing with a topic that's not really covered in a lot of movies, which is a gay couple trying to conceive a child, especially around the holidays. That's really difficult because that's usually when you're thinking about kids. Like you said, Aaron, you want kids and puppies with your holiday cheer. So it makes it even harder for them.
It sounds like a really good and solid idea. I dig it.
Yep. I would definitely, definitely go see that movie.
Is it just because Emilia Clarke and Jodie Comer are lesbian lovers?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Doesn't hurt.
Lovers in the nighttime. I mean, if it's a sales pitch that I can respect. So, yes, I don't see why that's a bad thing. Now, just let me think about it for a minute. Okay, so mine, I initially had this pitch for, it was for a girl, but it's a very dark storyline. So I elected, because I was Brooklyn Prince is who I was thinking about the whole time, the Home Before Dark actress. So you could definitely make it a girl. I for whatever reason, I just pictured, every time I kept thinking of the storyline as you're going to hear it, the more I thought about it, I feel like, and it doesn't make any sense, but to me, I think it'll probably play better with a boy than it will a girl. I just feel like it might seem just creepier with a girl. And I think you'll understand once I explain it. But
okay.
If not.
This is so vague and confusing.
Let me tell you the pitch, and you tell me if you get what I'm saying. So anyway, I went with the boy. So it's 1995. It's a little bit of a lengthy pitch, but hear me out. It's 1995. It's Christmas Eve. A mother and father, they've been working long hours. They're trying to provide a special holiday after a really rough year for all of them financially. They've been very short, very unattentive, simply because of the stress. They've got a 11-year-old son, Billy. He's a good kid, even if he gets into a little bit of trouble a little too often, and he's snarky as hell, because that's how my characters are going to be in my movie. He's also a bit of a latchkey kid and frustrated that they refuse to listen to him on important issues that directly affect him, like most kids that age. You know, 11 is like that turning point age where you're starting to hit where you understand life a little bit more, but you're also still a kid. It's that nice dynamic they've got going. In other words, a real family. Billy and his little puppy, gotta have a puppy, are walking home from hanging outside the mall waiting for Santa while mom and dad were at work. As he trots along, a van slides up along him. And bam, Billy is plucked into the van and whisked away. He's been kidnapped. And yes, it's a holiday movie, just bear with me. So mom and dad, they take a beat. They eventually piece together that he's been kidnapped, that what has happened. So they immediately go to the police. Search begins. It's a small town, so every road has already been locked down, like they immediately locked the whole town down, meaning there's a good chance the kidnapper has not already left, like he's still in the town. Billy and his puppy, they find themselves in the kidnapper's home. Now, I haven't cast anybody except the kidnapper role. Here we learn that the kidnapper's backstory, and his name is Sam, and he lost his 10-year-old son to cancer the year before, which led to his divorce shortly after. He's breath with grief, and he took Billy out of impulse. It wasn't anything he planned. It was just something. It was a horrible, horrible action, and quickly realized how wrong he was. His mind was just broken, and now he has no idea how to get out of it. Like he just doesn't know what to do. Now, it's very important. I don't want to empathize with the kidnapper, but I do want to paint a picture of the pain inherent to the loss of a child. I think that's important. And how the holidays really, really add that strain to someone who's already struggling. So you need a great actor for this role. So it's the only one I cast, and that's Bryan Cranston. I just think he's the rare guy who could pull something like that off. It's a very tricky part. So Billy's parents, they quickly organize a search team with concerned neighbors and friends. So the whole town comes together. Even on Christmas Eve, there's people giving up their own family events, their own plans to leave town. Well, mostly the roads are blocked, so they have to. But they're also canceling their own family festivities because they want to help find Billy. It's a family coming together. So it's like they're all coming together with love. Meanwhile, Billy initially tries to escape because he's a plucky kid. And then slowly begins to understand his own parents more through the kidnapper struggles as he starts to talk about what happened and how he feels and how sorry he is. And he's desperate. He doesn't know what to do now to get out of this. And obviously he has no intentions of hurting the child, something you would have to establish immediately to make this movie even work. And nothing justifies what he's done at all. But Billy learns about empathy for a mentally broken man from this moment. There's even a small scene where Billy joins Sam to sing his favorite carol that his son used to sing with him. It's a little bit of a mystery film as the town kind of slowly pieces together clues that lead to the kidnapper's home, who lives right in town, obviously, so they never left. But when they finally get there, they're already gone. Billy and Sam are already gone, and the puppy. Puppy's fine. At the same time, Billy and Sam walk into the police station where Sam confesses to everything that he had done and takes full responsibility immediately. Now, it isn't a stupid movie. He's still arrested.
Billy tells them he was fed and cared for, and though it's not really going to matter a lot in the law's eyes, he hopes they get him help because this isn't a man that was a horrible, sick individual. It's someone who was just broken, mentally broken. They said they will seek to have him sent for some kind of a mental evaluation and hopefully help him. So then we cut to Christmas Day the next day, where Billy and his parents, they're having a wonderful dinner. Billy relays tales of what happened to him the day before. He kind of explains what he learned about Sam. The film ends with Billy's parents finally listening to their son for the first time, and they arrive at the police station and ask to see Sam. And of course, the police are very reluctant as they, you know, kidnap their son. So they agree that they can talk to him through the glass on a phone. And that's where we proceed to see Billy singing that same carol that he sang with Sam, that Sam sung with his son. And then his parents slowly join in.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
That's my movie.
You do such a good job of painting a picture through how you speak and your storytelling. Like, I could visualize everything that was happening as you were going through it. And now I'm like a little emotionally torn for this man.
That's Christmas to me. Learn a little bit about somebody who does something horrible and that maybe not everybody's as horrible as simply as you thought.
Have a little compassion.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would like to do. It's a tricky movie. You got to get the right director and actor, obviously, because
you kidnapped as the director.
Sure. Give me the budget. I will finish the script. Look, it's half done, man. Like, the whole story is right there. Jeez. What more do you need?
Also, this is copyrighted by Aaron Peterson.
Right. That's so much better than a Hallmark movie.
Oh, give me Hallmark's budget. Even that I can make work. That's what I got to do. I'm going to go finish this and write it as an indie flick.
That would be Bryan Cranston's salary.
I think he'd do it for free.
That's
okay,
possible.
For scale.
I was going to say free is a little.
Yeah, that's probably pushing it just a little bit too much. But thanks. I'm glad you guys like it. I think all three were actually movies that I would go to see. And you know what's funny? All three were probably better than what we normally get.
Yeah.
I mean, not to toot our horns, but yes.
Doot, doot.
I'll pat myself on the back for that.
There you go. Well, I mean, John's is kind of fun. Yours is very emotional, but not too dark. Mine's is a little prisoners, but still.
A little prisoners.
Yeah, I like them all.
There's a market for all three. That's what I think. This is the moment where Michael Bonovich demanded that we read a Christmas poem on this episode. So Scotty is going to recite that Christmas poem. He's going to dazzle us. He wrote it himself. I haven't heard it yet. I have no idea what this is going to be, but it's supposed to be like podcast specific.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you're incorporating hosts, some listeners. I don't know what you're doing. It's going
to
be crazy.
But what
I do want to do is I want to set the mood.
You want to set the mood.
I want to stoke a fire.
Okay.
I want to get you a little ready to talk about it. So here, I'm going to cue this. Oh, you feel that?
Oh, wow. That
feel that? Oh, that's nice. Me rubbing my hands together. Nothing else. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's feeling a lot warmer in here.
Hang on. I'm putting my sweater on.
I'm feeling more in the Christmas mood now that we got the fire going.
Now, dazzle awesome. Me. I want to hear this.
All right.
Wait, I need my beverage.
You need your beverage? You got like a blanket or maybe a hot cup of...
If you do it right, I'll cuddle.
You'll cuddle. Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go. This is... the ho version of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I want to speak up because the fire is pretty loud.
Fire's loud. Okay, here we go. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and the podcast was done. Not a creature was stirring, except for me and my Xbox One. The Imaho shirts were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that more listeners soon would be there. The hoes were all nestled, snug in their beds, while visions of Jennifer Lawrence danced in their heads.
Ooh, I like this.
And Brian with his banjo, Justin his squeaky chair, had just settled down to enjoy some Jew bears. When down in the basement, there arose such a clatter. I sprang from my man cave to see what was the matter. Down the stairs I flew with a crash, tore open my laptop, and threw in my flash. The glow of my screen made me realize what was happening. I was suddenly reminded of the days of the fappening.
Awesome.
What I saw on the page filled my eyes with such wonder. A Facebook post and 8 comments under. With a hint of sarcasm and the air of a baron, I knew in a moment it had to be Aaron. More rapid than eagles, the witty banter came. Then he furiously started to type them by name. to the top of the Ho group, to the top of Ho wall. Now post away, post away, post away all. Then Justin continues to pimp his new book, and Aaron won't stop talking about Babadook. As for me, I still try to be the mediator, and Brian reminds us to go to the theater. And then, in a twinkling, the comments became crude. I wouldn't exactly say they were rude, but some of the words just made my head shake, particularly the one that said, Chewy, don't take. It's Christmas. Have some cider and maybe a cookie. How do we end up with Han fucking a Wookie? We're grown men, we're adults, and none of us slobs. And as of this year, we all now have jobs.
Hey! That was brilliant.
The reviews, how they sparkled, and not just for comics. Our scores have a twist. They use economics. The studios unfortunately don't give us commission, but we still judge our films with the price of admission. To all of our fans who have tuned in for weeks, we know that, like us, you're all movie geeks. Our only request that we hope you adopt when seeing a movie by corn that is popped.
That was good. I kind of want to leave this fire going for the whole episode.
Yeah, we should. It was getting a little chilly in here, so.
All right, Scott, you got a letter.
We got one from Sheila Stockton. Sheila says, Santa, I love my kids, but they've been pains in my ass all year. What can you bring them this year that will teach them to stay off the naughty list?
Sheila. I mean, obviously, you love your kids. You know, you carried them for 9 months. They obviously caused you a lot of pain. And, of course, you're just legally required to take care of them. However, you don't have to like them, you know? So, how about I just put some condoms in their stockings to remind them if they stay naughty, they might be disappointed too one day.
Shit.
So I don't know how old they are, but the younger, the better chance of them learning. So
yeah, they don't last that long. They have an expiration date on them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I kept one for like 9 years in my wallet, so it's all good.
Did it work?
Did you use it or do you still have it?
I don't have kids. So I'll put it that way.
Well, thank you, Xana, for coming by. Is there anything you want to say in closing as you head off to finish your toys and get to work?
Nah, not really. I just got a whole lot of stuff to do, so I'm out of here.
Y'all bye, Xana.
Have a Merry Christmas. Be good to each other. Just be good. Just be good to each other. Quit bitching about everything. Quit getting upset about everything. It's not that bad. Just be good to each other.
Okay, now it is time to wrap this show up. Are you guys ready? We get to sing it out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I really get uncomfortable when your bells jingle, I'll be honest with you. Oh, my God. Yeah, stop.
I'm averting my eyes right now.
There's even little stockings, like, right there.
Yeah, we get it.
Well, they got to hang from somewhere.
Yeah, right? Well, and it says, naughty or nice, I have an outfit for
okay.
both.
Okay, you're making me uncomfortable. So let's go ahead and we're going to sing a song. It's called Let It Ho. Let It Ho as we...
we do this every year.
We do it. We did a different one last year, but there's not only so many Christmas songs you can do that aren't really licensed.
That have words in them that rhyme with ho.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that's pretty much where it is.
So we're going to start it up and we're going to sing our way out of here and hopefully this goes smooth.
Probably not. The other shows on Apple are frightful, and our fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it ho, let it ho, let it ho.
This podcast doesn't show signs of stopping, and I always bring some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low, so come get it ho, get it ho, get it ho.
When we finally say goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you just pay us right,
at Patreon,
all the host pockets will be warm.
Well, my fire is slowly dying, and my dears, we're still goodbying. So as long as you love us so, we'll let it ho, let it ho, let it ho. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider.
Remember to subscribe on your podcast app of choice or even on Spotify.
TheHollywoodOutsider.com is the website. Buy popcorn on Twitter and feedback at TheHollywoodOutsider is the email.
And remember, when you head to the theater this holiday season, buy popcorn.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Happy holidays, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, and especially Merry Christmas.
Oh, before you go, it's very important that we ask you this, because not many people get to interview Santa. Not many.
Not many. Mm-mm. I don't do many interviews. Kind of reclusive.
Can you tell us what is the meaning of Christmas?
Yeah, it's December 25th. It's the year that we celebrate Christmas stuff.
No, so, the year? What is the meaning of it? What does it mean?
What does it mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I feel all like right, Santa's like, drunk now. He's getting a little bit of that Santa's, Kentucky mash.
He doesn't want to give anything up.
I can't tell you how to feel, how you interpret Christmas, and how you celebrate Christmas is up to you. You know, that's and Scott's idea might be a little different, and John's might be a little different also. However, the main thing is that Santa Claus is at the center of everything in Macy's and Best Buy.
Thank you, Santa. Thank you so much for being here. It was greatly appreciated.
Always a pleasure hanging with you guys. Maybe we'll talk again next year.